name's Barry. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Barry.
I'm a drug addict, and I am a codependent. This comes out in this step pretty much, too. Anyhow, I've been through the steps where they're laid out in the big book with the help of God and another man. I've done most of my amends, and I practiced to the best of my willingness 10, 11, and 12. And I try to be willing every day. I ask for willingness every morning when I pray. So until I walk outside, I'm willing. And I get hit right between the eyes of planet Earth and whatever comes along with it. My story is my story. You know, I drank a lot. I did a lot of drugs. I had a lot of resentments. And I have had several women in my life, according to the list that's in this book that's 7 years old. There's 49 people on the list. No, excuse me, 39. I don't want to give me 10 more than I need. But there's 39 different names on that list. And two of them are my children. For me, the whole process of Alcoholics Anonymous, or the big book, I'll say that for this meeting, and whatever it is that I needed to use to solve my issues that were addictions, the answer to it has been in this book, to my problems. And I needed to do something to be able to live in this world on life's terms the way it was, because I wasn't doing a good job of that. And so with it, and I found and I admitted something, that I was powerless over alcohol and my life was unmanageable. I admitted that. I told the truth. And it was the beginning. I told the truth, finally. I stood there and said it to somebody else and could feel it. I told the truth. And I lied and I cheated and I stole. I did that. I did not have an open mind, willingness, or be honest. Anyhow, I want to get right to this. For me, the third step prayer, before we say the third step prayer, but before we say it, we think well about doing this before we take this step. And the third step prayer, I've said it a bunch of times up until when I said it for Big Book Step Study, and I still say it plenty today. But the third step prayer, I never heard it because I couldn't hear. But when it was suggested to me that I use that prayer to become, have a relationship, try to make contact with my higher power before I started writing on a daily basis, step four, I could hear it because I memorized it. And once I memorized it, I could hear the words. Once I heard the words, the yin and the yang of what was going back and forth, I could heal it, hear it, and see it, and I found this contractual agreement that's laid out in there. What I was offering and what I was expecting. And that's what has nurtured me along continually with my relationship with my higher power. Without my higher power, there's not 39 names on this list. Without my higher power, there's no 700 and whatever names on my resentment list, my anger list, and principles and institutions with whom I was angry. They're not there. I needed to have something to help me with that because I was blocked. I had nothing going on for me. So with that prayer and trying to be connected to my higher power, I was able to do this work. And with my higher power and that prayer, I continue to have spiritual growth in my life. Today has been a rough morning for me. It was rough. Because before I came here, I looked at this, the literature that we just read, and I made some notes in my book. But then I got this book out. And this is my sexual inventory. And it's about half as much of the book here, right? And I got very sad. And I actually had to stop and I had to go and pray. And I had to cry for a while. And I got really emotional. I'm like, what can I do? And can I actually come here and talk to you all? I didn't know I was going to be able to do it. I got in touch with my sponsor, sent him a text, got in touch with my other sponsor, didn't send him a text, and then I sent somebody an email. That guy called me back, and we talked about the step a little more. And it wasn't that I was off on what it said and what I've done. I just was off. I was in a place of like kind of morbid reflection and self-pity. And I didn't know that I could come here and talk about this. So let's talk about this. All right. So the first thing that I like to say is my higher power is on my team. And I'm grateful. I really am. And I love this meeting. I love you guys. Gals and guys. Right? Anyhow. So this is now about sex. And many of us need an overhauling there. So the word overhauling, what does it mean? Do I really know what it means? It means overhauling is to make changes. So I needed to do something about my sex. I needed an overhauling on it. I needed to make change about how I had my sexual life was going on. What was it about? Now, it's about relationships. And a lot of people have talked, and I've heard them talk, this is really about relationships. Overall, you can make it whatever you want. For me, it says sex, and it's about sex. It's not about sex necessarily, but it's about sex, those type of relationships. But above all, we try to be sensible on this question. It's so easy to get way off track, and it is. It's really easy that you can go anywhere you want. The first sexual ideal I came up with before I came to Big Book Step Study was about breast sizes and, you know, what kind of clothes and, you know, all that. I mean, I was really crazy when I got to AA. And I didn't know, but I wanted to have a good sexual ideal. And I wanted God to help me get it. So, but that's all changed, thank God. But above all, we tried to be sensible on this math question. It's so easy to get off the track. Here we find human opinions running to extremes, absurd extremes. Perhaps. And when I look at that, what does that mean? And what is the word extreme mean? And what does the word absurd mean? So, absurd. It's inappropriate or wildly unreasonable. It's out there. Woo! Right? And absurd. Oh, that's inappropriate and wildly unimaginable, excuse me. Extreme, both sides of the spectrum. 180 degrees difference, right? I didn't believe in God, I believe in God. 180 degrees, right? And the balance of what they're talking about here, and the word, the reason I like extreme, that they use it here, is that the two questions that were asked to me when I came to Big Book Step Study was out of page 90 in the book, and the guy said, do you want to quit for good? And I said, absolutely. He said, are you willing to go to any extreme to do that? And I was, in 2 years and a bit in AA, I was still desperate because I wasn't drinking, but I was crazy as hell. I really was. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. So I was willing to go to any extreme, or would I go to any extreme, is the exact wording. And I would, and I have. Because to do this stuff, I had to go to an extreme. I had to look inside, and I had to have a power greater than me to help me. Without it, I'm no good. It's not going to work. So they're giving us now, in the next few sentences, it's so easy to get way off track. Here we find human opinions running to extremes, absurd, and perhaps one set of voices cry that sex is lust of our lower nature. The next voice says it's a base necessity for procreation. 180 degrees, right? So they go on with these examples. Then we have the voices that cry, scream out, right, for sex and more sex. And then we have people who bewail the institution of marriage, right? They don't like it. They don't want to be in there. It's bitterness. It's how you express bitterness. You bewail it. And then you have people who think that most of the troubles of the race are traceable to sex. I don't know. But to me, this is insanity. Total insanity. But it's all different. And everybody has their thing. So they go on with a few more, right? And then they say, they see its significance everywhere. Our one school of thought would allow a man no flavor for his fare, and another would have us all on a straight pepper diet. Do you know what that means? No, right? I didn't know. Actually, Bill Wilson coined that, according to Google. And straight pepper diet, right? It means having sex all the time to the point where it becomes habitual, impersonal, and banal, right? Lacking in originality, banal. In contrast to flavorless fare, which means to be completely celibate, right? It's your food has got nothing going on for it, whatever, right? So they're meant to be read together as two extreme options, right? Which is what everything that we just heard was extreme options. 180 degrees. So that's what's going on here. That's what all this is about. Comparison, our inventory. We're looking here, what it was like. We're looking here, the ideal. And that's what the purpose of this sexual idea, sexual inventory is. To be able to create this ideal for me to move forward in relationships that involve sex. Now, the ones that involve sex with my kids, right? And I'll read both of them to you. They're not long. I just have, oh, where are they? Zach is 19 and Samantha's 18. If you're doing this, number your stuff. I always started at the high numbers because they were I worked backwards. Okay, my son, 19, right? Zach, all right. So I've been very inconsiderate with him. Given the years, I have made inappropriate comments regarding women that may have embarrassed or even hurt him. I feel that I have done many things that may have caused suspicion and possibly bitterness. Very selfish on my part to subject a young boy, and he was a young boy when this was going on, a young boy to my sexual preferences. And I don't even spell preferences right. This is per-or-senses-ness. Anyhow, I did not set a good example. I could have been sober and refrained from sharing my sexual insanity as a joke. I am joking around with this young boy about it, right? Then my daughter, she was very hurt when I started dating women. This is after I got divorced. So this is like in 2007, and I'm still drinking. It was selfish of me to flagrantly express my joy of having a new relationship. I did not consider her, and it was dishonest to think that she would be cheering me on. My sexual life should not be shared with my children. Right? So those are two of them that are about sex, but not about sex. So we always have to look at, you know, what's dishonest. It's not necessarily always lying and cheating, right? It's other things. So here it says, we want to say that out of this controversy, we do not want to be the arbiter of any sex. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? That's the question. Here's the answer. We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Inconsiderate. I'm not thinking of the other person, right? And they're giving us some new words and bigger words because I think we've learned some stuff by now about ourselves, right? Whom had we hurt? Well, we learned the difference from harm already, knowing what harm was as opposed to just being angry. Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Mm-hmm. That smacked me right between the eyes. Later. Because when I actually, in sobriety, had a girlfriend, and I was flirting with a waitress, and we came out of dinner, and she said, I was jealous. Why were you doing that? You're supposed to be with me. And I was just like trying to get attention. Right? So she got angry at me. And why did I do it? Suspicious and bitterness. Right? So why would I do those things? I still have my character defects. Even at 4 years, this is when I start crying today. In 4 years now, when I'm going out with this woman, I still have my character defects, and I didn't even remember what my sexual ideal that it even added in it. Until I said, why do I owe you an amends? What did I do wrong? I wasn't being selfish, self-seeking, which I was. But what did I do wrong? Why are you so upset? And then I went home and I read this sexual inventory again. And I cried then and I cried today again. Where were we at fault and what should we have done instead? And that was the reason that I gave you those two little things about my kids, you know, about how I acted, what I did, and what I should have done. I didn't have the ability to do any of that stuff. I was trying to be the good, fun dad, right? And that's how I was doing it. Now, is that kind of my way of getting love out of my children and expressing love? That's my codependency. I'm showing off to them. But it's not about them. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. I don't like hearing that, but it's about me. So where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? And we got this all on paper and we looked at it. So now we get it on paper and then we look at it. Why do we look at it? Because that's how we're going to form our ideal. If we don't have it all on paper, if I don't have this all on paper, and there was one of them, and I'll just move to my ideal for a second. My ideal, be thoughtful when beginning a relationship, do not have expectations, and it's a whole list. I got down here and I saw courage and substance. It's like, why are they there? And then I was reading, where is this one? 17. This is, says early sobriety, right? I was lonely. She was the woman who suggested I consider AA. She liked me and was lonely. I was not attracted to her. Many times I did not show up for her. I rejected her advances. I ignored her, yet would reach out only to let her down again. I've been very inconsiderate, selfish regarding her. I've been dishonest by making myself available. I could have been a friend instead of an empty glass, a man without substance and courage. I was still frightened. I couldn't open up to anybody. I didn't know how to do it. I had a woman that's in here tell me I was the most narcissistic person she ever met in her life. And I said, I'm not in love with myself. What are you talking about, narcissism? I didn't know the depth and weight of what the word narcissism means. I had no idea. So, I better get my gear, my butt moving on.
How are you doing?
So I had to be able to, this has gotten bigger and bigger. This is the beginning. And I have to say, if you're writing, you're not going to get it all. You're not even going to understand it all. I didn't understand it at all. I can't tell you. You may understand it. I didn't understand anything. I didn't feel anything. I didn't understand anything. But I did it. And can I write this stuff without God? No way. This is why I say that I asked my higher power to help me so much. And I ask so much every day, and I still do, what to do. Help me to have an open mind. Help me to feel what I need to feel, see what I need to see, and hear what I need to hear. Help me to be willing, help me to be honest. Man, I put that guy to work. Because I'm a big job he's got in front of him, but he's helping. And I'm doing it. So here I go, whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow towards it. So when I mentioned in year four, I still had this ideal. I went home and read it and found that I hadn't grown toward it much. I was a little bit of ego relative to sex. And, you know, so I've been slapping myself in the face more than once in AA. A lot of people in Big Book Step Study that I meet have been in AA for a long time. I wasn't. I was raw as could be when I was in Big Book Step Study. So when I also reflected today on my sexual ideal, because there's more in AA, of the, on my list. That when I reflected on that today, it was like, you got a long way to go, Barry. And I cried again. Because where am I? I think I'm in a great place in 10 years of sobriety. No. I am in a better place. I am in a place where I am able to think about other people to the best of my willingness. And I try to do that. So this, for me, has been something that's brought me a long way. I know I have to stop, and I wish I didn't, but I do. I do know that on pages 55, paragraphs 2 and 3, if you read them, it talks about deep inside of us is God inside of all of us, the greater reality within. That's what I need for this. I need to have this higher power in my life. It also sums up at the end of this, and I can stop right after this, but it sums up and it says that we are earnestly and sincere, earnestly sincere, which means we have an intense conviction. And we got to help others. If we can't handle our sex, we go out and help others. And I do that. I help other people. I don't have any relationships anymore. The relationships I have with two different women are friendly. It wasn't in my vocabulary about having a woman as a friend. Mm-hmm. I have a relationship with someone that's friendly. So it also talks about, in the end of this, and I can't stop without saying this, if you have already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. This is the end of step 4. You've made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. Big chunks. A lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in us alcoholics and addicts and overeaters and just whatever. There's a lot of stuff we got buried in us. But if we ask that higher power for help, and we are honest about that, and we really want to get better, it works. It really does. Thank you.